against them and also speaking to his followers and the Muslims at large. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en/islam page, where you can find all our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode and another lesson, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Better friends than you, but anyone stay here won't be alive tomorrow. You can save yourself tonight and go. A deep silence filled the air.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به حق تعالی.
In the path of the Imam.
As a reminder, it was said that the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, was forced to leave Turkey for Iraq. It was also said that after 1 month of staying in the holy city of Najaf, the Imam's family joined him except Ahmad, Imam Khomeini's youngest son. Today we're going to continue with our story. Please stay with us. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, continued enlightening and awakening the Iranian people through secret liaison with ulama or religious scholars and young seminary students. He didn't give up, lay bare the betrayals of the despotic Pahlavi regime. His steadfast wife, Lady Khadija Saghafi, says, "Once we were in Karbala, the Imam was writing a statement. Mustafa asked, 'What are you writing?' The Imam replied, 'I wrote and sent it to Qom yesterday.' He wouldn't let anyone, even his eldest son Mustafa, be informed of writing statements. Not that Mustafa was a stranger, rather, he used to decide alone. We went to the yard. I asked, 'Were you writing a statement?' He laughed and said, 'What about it?' I said, 'I don't say that they will arrest you, but they will increase pressure on your friends in Iran.' He didn't say anything. I said, 'In my opinion, it is a time of private letters. First make the morale of those who are interested in these issues and then release official statements.' He just looked at me. I said, 'When they had taken you, I realized many things from the wives of the ulama and understood that they are not ready for such words. I understood that if they sometimes keep silent or express inclination, it is out of expediency.' He looked at me again and didn't say anything. When I was leaving, he said, 'What about people, the wives of grocers, masons, and seminary students?' I looked at him and kept silent. However, my words were not ineffective because during 15 years, the Imam's basic job was to have relation with the ulama, whom he knew that they were the men of struggle." Imam Khomeini's stay in the holy city of Najaf coincided with frosty relations between Iran and Iraq. Thus, many Iranians were expelled from Iraq in those days, and they were denied permission to enter Iraq. Under these tense conditions, many Iranian ulama or religious scholars in Iraq didn't intend to criticize the Iraqi regime. But Imam Khomeini expressly and bravely castigated the Iraqi president and protested at him via telegraph. His wife relates the account. As the Iran-Iraq relations were severed, Iranians were expelled from the country. Baathists expelled the Iranians living in Najaf, in Karbala and in other Iraqi cities for years. It was heartrending. They would pour into the houses of people and plunder their belongings. The Imam strongly protested against these conditions and sent a telegraph to the Iraqi president, Hassan al-Bakr, whereby he had rebuked al-Bakr harshly. Imam Khomeini was the only scholar in the city of Najaf to protest. He called them worse than the Shah. Dear listeners, Imam Khomeini's wife accompanied him in all tough conditions and didn't accept to leave Iraq. Therefore, the Imam appreciated her efforts by calling her as the follower of the Prophet's wife, Lady Khadija, peace be upon her. During Imam Khomeini's exile in the city of Najaf, he and his family would go to Karbala on special occasions, such as Ashura Arba'in, the 40th day of Imam Hussein's martyrdom, or 13th of Rajab, or 15th of Sha'ban, the Eid al-Fitr, and the Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice. However, it was very interesting that while even ordinary seminary students would take cars from Najaf to Karbala, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, as a great source of emulation, would never take a car and would always travel by bus. The Imam's wife recounts this. We used to go to Karbala nearly 6 times a year. The Imam and Mustafa would go together, but I and Mustafa's wife would go with children. We all would go by bus. One day, Mustafa's wife told me, "You come short that you do not take a car for us." I was very upset. The next trip, I was not satisfied with going to Karbala, as children had been hurt a lot in the almost 60-degree temperatures of the summer. I related this story to say that the Imam would treat us so toughly, although, as a source of emulation, he had a huge amount of money. This was because he wanted not to transgress the framework which he had determined for himself. During his stay in the city of Najaf, Imam Khomeini was not allowed to enter Iran. In those days, his younger son, Ahmad, got married, and the Imam couldn't take part in the wedding ceremony and other ceremonies. Imam Khomeini wrote in his letter to Haj Ahmad, "Dear Ahmad, inshallah, this marriage will be blessed for you and the respectable lady, and may you spend long years together with health and joy. Whenever I go to the shrine of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, I will pray for you. Inshallah, it will be answered." Then he wrote to his daughter-in-law, "I'm happy that Ahmad has married with a genuine and respectable family. Inshallah, God willing, you will be happy, blissful and successful with the blessing of your pure ancestors. Inshallah, God willing, this marriage will be happy, blessed and full of success and bliss of the world and the hereafter. Thank the Almighty, you have inherited the lofty merits of your great father, paternal ancestors and venerated mother and maternal ancestors. I hope that, inshallah, God willing, Ahmad will also enjoy these merits. I will not forget praying for you."
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program, Islamic Upbringing. This is a program wherein we provide you with necessary information to be able to provide necessary grounds for your children to flourish and to attain perfection, which is the ultimate goal of Islam. Well, today in our studio we have with us Brother Miqdad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Brother Miqdad is a researcher in the Hafsa Ilmiya of Qom, will be providing us answers on the basis of Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. A very warm welcome, brother.
Thank you so much, Jazakallah.
Well, friends play an important role in everybody's life. But brother, you know, one aspect that teenagers are faced with is peer pressure from friends, which I guess comes from choosing the right friends. Could you shed some more light on this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So as you mentioned very rightly, that friends play a very important role in our lives.
Yeah.
And this is something that nobody can deny.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen this. And a lot of importance has been given to this topic in the discussion of psychology and sociology and youth studies generally. And you find that Islam has also given a lot of importance on this topic. And there's plenty of verses of the Holy Quran, as well as hadith from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim wasalam, to discuss this very important topic and to advise us and to guide us into ensuring that this very important factor in our lives is a positive factor. It's a positive impact in our lives. And you find that the Holy Quran talks about this very clearly. So for example, to just give you a verse of the Quran before we begin, you have in Surah Furqan, verse 25, and the people of hell, for example, will complain, Ya waylata, laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Or how I wish, it's a sense of, very sense of deep regret.
Okay.
I wish, a regret that you can't go back and change anything now.
Mm-hmm.
You're faced with the consequence of what you did. And the blame comes on what? What is he blaming on? He says, Lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I hadn't taken such a person as a friend.
Okay.
Right? And you find in other verses as well as in other riwayat as well, we have this, that the sadiq, the friend, the khalil, these people that are friends with me are going to naturally have a very strong impact in me. In fact, you find, for example, in the discussion of spouse selection, that if you're looking for a spouse, whether a boy is looking for a girl to get married to her, or a girl is looking to get married to a boy, one of the ways to find out more about this person is to find out who their friends are.
Mm.
Why? Because we're told, even in hadith, we have this as well, that a person's religion is his friend's religion.
Okay.
Right? So
man is known by the company he keeps.
Exactly. That's another proverb as well that we have.
Yes.
So we have this in hadith a lot, that if you want to know somebody, look at their friends. And so friends have a very big impact in our lives. And
mm-hmm.
therefore, what's very important for us is to make sure that we use this impact, this factor in our life, in a positive way.
Okay.
And at this, on the other side as well, you'll find that many sad stories, many bad endings are due to friends. So with the verse we mentioned over here.
Yeah.
And you find as well, when you talk to youth and you ask them, you ask them like the mistakes that they've done when they were teenagers, or the mistakes that they were involved in, that they will very often say, oh, it was because of this person. It was because of my friend. I wish if I hadn't listened to him, if I hadn't taken him as my friend, I would be a different person, or
yes.
I would be doing things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to realize this. And the key discussion, or one of the key discussions in this regard, is to talk about the choice that we have in making a rational choice in choosing our friends.
All right.
So let me share a few points. Let's take a break and then share a few points regarding this.
Yes, sure. Let's take a short break. We'll be back after a short break. Stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. contact us. English Radio at irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Yes, brother, we're talking about friends.
So let me mention the Arabic of the hadith I pointed out before the break. So, al-mar'u ala dini khalilih. A person is on the religion of his friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Amir al-Mu'minin says that in a hadith, if a person is unknown to you, man ishtabaha alaykum amruhu, walam ta'arifu, if you don't know somebody, if you don't know his amr, walam ta'arifu dinahu, fanzuru ila khulata'ihi, then look at the people around him.
All right.
So if there's somebody whom you don't know about, so mm-hmm. in spouse selection, for example, or in any setting, if you want to know somebody, find out who his friends are.
All right.
And experience has shown this as well. Many times I've tried this as well, I've seen it. If you want to know somebody, then you look at their friends. What's very important to realize, and just to take the discussion further as well, is that we have two types of people that we hang around with, or two types of friend. Let me share this hadith with you. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, let me read the entire hadith. قام رجل بالبصرة إلى أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام. A person from Basra comes. Mm-hmm. And look at what question he asks for Amir al-Mu'minin. He says, يا أمير المؤمنين, أخبرنا عن الإخوان. Tell us about friendship. Tell us about brotherhood.
Okay.
فقال عليه السلام, Amir al-Mu'minin says, الإخوان صنفان. The brotherhood of friends are of two types. إخوان الثقة وإخوان المكاشرة. You have the friends that are called the إخوان الثقة. They are those reliable friends, those true friends, those close friends.
Mm-hmm.
In our own language, we count them as our best friends. Exactly.
وإخوان
المكاشرة. These are friends of enjoyment, if you want to translate literally. It means people that you hang around with, people you have fun with. But mm-hmm. they're not people that you would necessarily rely on or you would trust them with anything.
Okay.
They're people that you, when you go out for a coffee or you go play football or you go to the cinema, you're together basically. You have fun together.
You hang around with them.
But when it comes for exam time, for example, when it comes to your parents did something to you and you need a person
shoulder
to talk to.
Now.
A shoulder now. These are not the people that you go to basically. You go to the first kind of people, the Ikhwan al-Thiqa.
Mm-hmm.
So Amir al-Mu'minin very beautifully shows us that there's these two types of friends. So what's important for us is to realize the influence of these two types of friends.
Okay, well, to know more on that, I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, love children, be kind to them, and whenever you promise something to them, fulfill it.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the role of friends in the teenager's life. Yes, brother. You share some beautiful verses. You share some beautiful hadiths. What is more in the store?
When we talk about the influence of friends that we have, very interestingly, you find that both of these types of friends that I talked about, both of them have a very important influence on me. At what level, you would ask? I would say at multiple levels. The first level where friends have an influence is at the level of actions.
Okay.
You can imagine, I remember when I taught this in a class, I used this example. I think it went very well. It went down very well with the students and the youth. Imagine a bubble, right? An energy bubble.
Okay.
When you're with friends, what happens is that in that circle, a kind of energy bubble is created between the friends that are there. In such a way that this leads to an action. And it's very difficult when you're within that circle to go against that energy. You're always stuck within that energy and you act based on that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, for example, it's extremely difficult and it takes an extreme amount of power to tell your friend off when you're in that circle. So imagine this scene where you're all sitting together and you're having a laugh with 3, 4, 5 of your friends, basically. You've been there for long time, for a few hours now, you're making loads of jokes and doing things together. And
okay.
And suddenly a person passes in front of you and some of your friends laugh at him
okay. or her. Right?
There's a very little chance that even though you know this is the wrong thing that just happened,
mm-hmm.
right, that shouldn't have happened, but to stand against it is very difficult.
All right.
In fact, most people will actually do it and actually join in the mocking or making fun of a third person.
All right.
Why? Because it's part of that energy that's going around in the circle right now.
All right.
And so my actions are very much influenced by this group. When I come out of it, let's say at night, for example, imagine you see that person again that you're making fun of. You won't be making fun of that person anymore.
Yes.
You're actually speaking to me in a very respectful way.
Yes.
Right? And if you were to turn around and say, but this is not how you behaved with me this afternoon when we were passing around, you would tell him that that's because we were together with friends and it was a laugh, basically.
We were going with the flow.
Exactly. So you find that when you have a group of friends together, an energy is created that drives our actions.
Okay.
And it requires a lot to come out of it, not to be influenced by it, or even more energy to go against it and say, guys, please stop what we're doing right now. Is not correct.
All right.
And so you find that friends influence our actions at a very high level. This was an example that happens at a physical level. Now, in the social media, the same thing as well. When you see social media people on Facebook together as friends,
mm-hmm.
or on Instagram, or all the social medias that are out there, you find again that we're influenced. And to go against that, like let's say, all your friends have a particular type of photo, a profile photo of mm-hmm. themselves.
All right.
For you to come out and put a black hijab, for example, a black scarf and a black hijab photo of yourself in a very modest way from very far, to stand out,
more
this will be a energy. Very difficult task.
Okay.
And so you see how friends influence your actions.
All right. So sometimes we are driven by the things what our friends do. And you said that it's a lot of energy and... In order to come out of that and stand against that, what is not right morally, we need to have a lot of energy again to stand out of that group. Well, that was all for today. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions for us or any suggestions, comments for a program, please feel free to contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. You can also search us on our social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. In case you want to listen to our programs again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
A goat in the Pakistani city of Karachi has made the headlines for its not-so-ordinary looks. The animal owns strikingly long ears. Simba was only born last month, and his ears have already reached the length of 54 centimeters. The goat's breeder, Muhammad Hassan Narejo, says he has approached Guinness World Records to see if Simba can be included as the greatest of all time for this peculiar feature. The kid is in the center of attention, so he receives all sorts of help to live a smoother life. This includes a special harness for his ears and daily religious rituals to wish him good health. The breeder says why promoting Simba's image, he is trying to induce Pakistan as a major goat breeding nation. The sky is the limit for wind sports in Iraq's Kurdistan region, as members of the paragliding team launched into the sunset. Tourists have also come to watch team members bravely run towards the edge of the cliff of Mount Asmar. They usually take off facing the west to catch the sunset and then glide down towards the grey green meadows. The windy landscape around Iraq's northeastern city of Sulaymaniyah is a hot spot for paragliding. Participants of the sport say it requires a lot of physical strength and mental concentration. Some say their favorite aspect of the activity is the intense silence when flying high above the ground. There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day, since the menu largely includes local flavors.
Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, five lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden tickets. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
Many people develop deeper relationships with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Lemasia has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome. The chess fever in the southern Indian city of Chennai is on a peak as the 44th International Chess Olympiad kicks off there. Students created a mammoth chessboard on the playground and dressed up as 32 chess pieces to promote the game. For 2 weeks, Chennai is hosting nearly 2,000 players from 188 countries. For the first time in nearly 100 years of history, the Chess Olympiad, India is playing host. The event will run until August the 10th. Ahead of the game, 150 underprivileged children from various government schools were given the opportunity to fly. These were the students who won in a district-level chess tournament. Excited spectators gather at the Solberg Airport in the U.S. for the 39th New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning.
We have about 45 balloons here today, including these spectacular special shapes. Our signature New Jersey Lottery Sunny Days balloon. You can see the tiger. Unicorn is hiding behind there. Tasmanian Devil, unique photo panda. We are having a spaceship. There's Billy the Kid. Spectacular presentation. You won't believe your skies this weekend.
Dozens of hot air balloons were test inflated in preparation for the real deal. The festival is considered the largest summertime event in New Jersey. Reddington City officials have predicted about 170,000 people will join the festival over the weekend. Weather forecasts say the sky are gentle enough for over 100 balloons to take flight in the morning and evening in mass ascents. And no one is more excited than the festival producer, who has been planning the event for months.
Including these spectacular special shapes, the balloons bring out the kid in everyone. You know, I've done this for a long time. This is the 39th annual one. But still, when I hear that propane whirring and these balloons going up, it makes the hair on my arm stand up.
The producer says these balloons will be handled by professional pilots and other balloons will be available for rides. The festival will last for 3 days, ending with food vendors, games, amusement rides, and other entertainment. There will also be a massive fireworks display as well as a nighttime feature of glowing balloons. The annual festival is the largest seasonal hot air balloon festival in North America. It draws in thousands of visitors every year.
You might think twice about throwing out your old trainers after this story. A startup in Tunisia breathes new life into old shoes as artists restore and even customize the footwear. The new business is called Kenenti and is located in the capital, Tunis. Here, the team uses fabrics, laces and leather recovered from various factories for the repair work. The creative artists work on every detail during each project, even the soles of the shoes. The work aims to find solutions to shoe waste and reuse items instead of adding them to the world's landfills. Cherif Zeroui is the co-founder of Kenenti. He says the idea came to him 2 years ago when he discovered the number of shoes thrown away each year in Tunisia.
In France, there were 100 million pairs of shoes thrown away every year. This is a huge figure for us, and for the ecosystem and for the earth. In Tunisia, it's almost the same given the population. There were 3 or 4 million shoes thrown away every year. So we thought of giving added value to these shoes, so we restored them.
Zerbui also says he is happy to create jobs for those willing to participate regardless of the educational degree. Besides shoes, these artists dabble in restoring worn-out handbags, giving them a brand new look. Many of the artists and interns say they are proud to be part of this unique project. They say they feel like a family there. The startup is the first trainer restoration business to be launched in North America.
would you buy a pair of scrap tire sandals? Well, in the Vietnamese capital, Hanoi, you will find all kinds of handmade sandals from recycled tires. The famously rugged footwear of the Viet Cong have traveled vast distances over the decades. Shoemakers use sharp knives and chisels to craft a sandal from huge tires. For those seeking a nod to yesteryear, the hard-sole sandals are available at markets and small stores alike, with prices ranging from $2,000 to $1,000. The Vietnamese first began making rubber sandals in the late 1940s during the First Indochina War against the French, using tires from ambushed army trucks. They found the sandals were cheap to make and survive well in wet, muddy and hilly conditions. Even in peacetime, the design remains popular for sustainability reasons. Living through a pandemic is strange as we are often locked indoors, but a UK-based Indian mechanical engineer made the best use of his time during the coronavirus lockdown and built an airplane. 38-year-old Ashok Ali Serial, who is also a private pilot, had long dreamt of a personal aircraft. He initially planned to order an aircraft kit and built it with his colleagues. But he says the 2020 lockdown left him with no choice but to complete it on his own. Now he has an aircraft which he has named after his youngest daughter, Dia. The plane can carry up to four people, including the pilot, and fly about 250 kilometers an hour. After getting clearance to fly, he flew across four European countries with his friends. He has also gone on a trip with his family of four.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. Thanks for being with us, dear Muslim
we
brothers
really
and sisters.
Thanks to IRIB Radio International.
IRIB
Savior
English
International
Radio.
School.
Okay.
First session he said IIBBR.
IRIB. English Radio and Sevier International
like
School.
Network.
Thank you so much.
And we are the stars of
it. So, we were talking about some of the attributes of some letters, yes? So, all the letters have attributes, okay? Whenever you want to pronounce them, you want to say the sounds, okay? They have different kind of attributes. So, the two attributes that we learned were istifal and isti'la, right?
Yeah, it means
so what
to
was
go
the meaning
higher,
of isti'la? Okay.
Go high and
go high and istifal means go down.
Yeah. So it means basically when you pronounce them, yes, when you pronounce them in isti'la, the letters that have isti'la attribute
they're
or
gonna,
characteristic,
we're
you
gonna
have
make
to,
our mouth vertical.
Yeah, you have to open your mouth vertically. Yes, up and down. And if the letters have istifal attribute,
gonna
you have
make
to
it
open
horizontally.
Throw
them
that's
down.
Great. So, I will make some examples. You got to repeat after me. And we say it, okay, that if these letters have fatha, right? Or these letters are sakin and the previous letter has a fatha. All right? So, now, everyone practice this these words with me. Qa'ada.
Qa'ada.
Okay, look. Qa'ada. When I say qa, when I say qa, so my mouth opens vertically. But when I say a and da, horizontally. Qa'ada. If you say qa'ada, it's wrong. Yes?
Qa'ada.
So, if we want to recite the Quran correctly, we have to recite it also beautifully. So, if you say qa'ada, it's correct, but it's not beautiful. It's not a good recitation.
Qa'ada.
So, okay, you have to say qa'ada.
Qa'ada.
Can I just read?
We will, inshallah, read together the Quran, okay?
I want to read page 10.
The next one, everyone say, Khashiyah.
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 Great. Khashiyah. Which letter has isti'la attribute?
Khashiyah.
That's great. Okay, now, Khuliqa.
Khuliqa.
When you say Khu, it's clear, yes? When it has Zamma, it's clear. Khu, Khu, Bu, sorry.
Qaf.
So, Du, Khu, Khu. That's easy.
Qaf.
Okay. Yes. Okay, next one. Wathuqa.
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 Okay. Next one. Yada'u.
Yada'u.
Which one has isti'la attribute?
Yada'u.
Yada'u. Which one?
No one.
None of them. Great.
Yada'u means...
Raqiba.
Raqiba.
Raqiba. Which one?
Ra.
Ra. That's great. Dakhala.
Dakhala.
Oh, this is very good.
Oh, can?
This is a very good one.
I forgot the translation.
Saqala.
Saqala.
Two
of them. Saqala.
Saqala.
Saqala. There are two.
So how about this one, Mahdi? Hasada.
Saqala?
Yeah.
And then...
Sa. Hasada.
Sa.
Which one has a sa'la letter? Innovation?
Seen.
What?
No one.
No.
No.
No. Hasada.
Whatever.
Okay, Hadi. So I will ask one by one. Hadi, this one. Qutila.
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 Qutila. Which one?
La la.
Qo. But it's half.
So Mihal. Matuna.
Matuna.
Two T. Matuna.
Matutu.
Matuna.
Which one? That?
No.
Or the...
The one with dots.
Mesopotamia.
Oh,
Zabani. Matuna.
Matuna.
Huh?
I'm saying Matuna, you're saying Malpona.
No, you said that two dots.
Two dots. With two dots.
Yeah.
So Matuna, te, ta.
Yeah.
Alif, ta, ta.
Matuna.
Not po.
Yeah. Not with the left?
Yeah.
Oh. No
way. Oh, say. Okay.
Matuna.
You say. Shughila. Shughila. Is it correct, Mahdi? Shughila.
Shughila.
I'm saying shughila. Shughila.
Shughila.
It is kasra. It does not have isti'la attribute.
Oh my god.
Shughila.
I
said, if it has fatha. Shughila. If it says shughila. It's great, but if it has kasra mahdi, ghe. It does not have, yes? Elevation attribute. Does it have?
No.
Yeah? You apply the istifal attribute, right?
Okay.
Yes? So now say. Ikhwa.
Ikhwa.
Ikhwa. Which one? Ikhwa. Ikhwa.
Ikhwa.
No.
No.
It's kha,
kha, but it's sakin.
No.
No, I say no.
It is sakin, but before that? Kasra. Ikh.
Kasra. Ikh.
So remember the rules, okay? Remember, don't forget.
You didn't say the rule.
I told you.
When it has kasra, we don't.
So when it has kasra, when the letter itself has kasra, or before it we have kasra, we don't pronounce it. With isti'la.
Like if it...
attribute.
So if it have...
Fatha.
Fatha and before it has...
Kasra, fatha and it is sakin. Kasra. If it has kasra... If it has fatha, it's clearly you pronounce. But when it is sakin, look at the previous letter. If the previous letter has fatha, isti'la. If the previous letter has kasra, istifal. That's easy.
وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ يا
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Let's go to Surah Al-Hamd. Everyone. Surah Al-Fatiha, actually, okay, it's called Surah Al-Hamd as well. Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that you, yeah, you recite it many times during the day. So, in your prayers. So, okay, Bismillah, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Okay, okay. Shaytan.
Shaytan.
Isti'ala, right?
Yeah, shaytan.
Okay, ta is there. Shaytanir rajim. Okay.
Next one.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Don't say Bismillahir. It's not here. Bismillahir Rahmanir
Rahim.
Quite. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Look, you say Bismillahir Rahman.
Bismillahir Rahman.
Oh, great. Hir Rahman. Because we have tashdeed, right?
Hir Rahman.
Hir
Rahman.
Hir.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're hair. Maybe you're a good dictionary, okay? We'll ask inshallah the words, okay? The meanings.
I like his haircut.
Okay.
Anna.
Canadian.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah,
okay. الحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين
Do we have any استعلاء?
Yes.
We are
No.
Great. What about عين?
No.
No. We say عالمين, not عالمين. Some people say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Like for Persian. Okay, they're reading Persian. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is wrong. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Alameen.
Oh, can you?
Stop being dictionary. Okay?
I am a dictionary. I'm a human dictionary. I hear one word that people don't know. I just say.
Dictionary and
one Qamar. To me, he is only one Qamar.
Get back to the topic. So. الحمد لله رب العالمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين
اوكي الرحمن الرحيم
الرحمن الرحيم
استعلاء Where?
الرحمن الرحيم
What about meme? What attribute does have meme? Does meme have?
We should stop.
استفال Istifal, lowering,
man.
Yes?
Yeah.
Lowering.
Man.
So, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Say it, Mahdi.
Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim.
Correctly, recite it.
Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim.
Okay. Maliki Yawmiddin.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Do not say Maliki Yawmiddin. Yeah.
Those are Persian. I'm not Persian. He's Persian.
Okay. So next one. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
Okay, don't say Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Okay, next ayah. Next ayah. This ayah. Pay attention to these two ayahs, okay? The last two ayahs. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim.
Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim.
So, ihdina al-sirat. How about sad?
Sad, no, because it has...
It has kasra, right? Ihdina al-sirat. You don't say ihdina al-sirat. اهدنا الصراط صراط طل طل How about مستقيم قاف
Also not because it has
كسرة Okay Mahdi recite this ayah once
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
Recite it
Yeah then you recite it
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
Where is the siratal?
Okay, siratal mustaqim. Great. Next ayah. Okay. Next ayah. Ready? Ready, Mahdi? Okay. صراط الذين
صراط الذين
don't say tell
صراط
الذين أنعمت عليهم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.
So there is somebody that says that an
Okay.
It's you. Yes, vertically.
But that time.
So, غير المغضوب.
غير المغضوب.
How many? How many استعلاء?
Three. غير.
How many استعلاء letters?
Three.
غير. How about ري?
See,
No.
Because it has كسرة. مغضوبي. ضاد. Yes. مغضوبي. عليهم ولا الضالين. It's very clear.
ولا الضالين.
It's very clear here. Yes. ولا الضالين.
ولا الضالين.
أحسن. Thank you so much. God bless you. Inshallah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Also, dear students and also. Maybe me. Yeah.
So,
let's recite our salawat, inshallah, and we will get back. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.